Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. A special welcome to those of you here in the sanctuary and also to those joining us by internet. And we want to wish you God's blessings as we celebrate this second Sunday of Advent. Our worship series continues When God Moved Into the Neighborhood, celebrating Jesus' coming during the Christmas season and our anticipation of his activity in our lives. As part of the worship series, we invite you to consider reading the first chapter of John's Gospel, of which is a little bit different of a Christmas story than the other Gospel writers, a little more in-depth theologically, but a sense of God's presence in our midst, and so you're invited to read that. This morning, on display here at the front, quite a number of Mennonite Central Committee school and hygiene bags. For those of you who have been working on those at home, just a reminder, wanting you to collect those. If you haven't brought them in yet, please try and do that as early as possible, as we want to get those in transit to those who will be receiving those. You are also invited, if possible, to make a donation directly to Mennonite Central Committee. There are obviously costs involved in transport and other measures to get these into the hands of people who need them, so we invite you to do that. Would also acknowledge this morning and on other Sundays there are in-person Sunday school class times, and children are working on a special Christmas Eve, Christmas Day project of video, and so exciting, looking forward to seeing that, but read the announcements with regards to that. Also, In regards to in-person services in the next while, just a reminder, Christmas Eve on the 24th at 6:30 in the evening, a younger generation's Christmas Eve service, and then on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock, seniors' generation service. There are other services listed there, so please look at those and follow the instructions there. In the preparation for our worship this morning, there is also a list of discussion questions in reflection of the message that Pastor Nick will be sharing later in the service. And his very first question there, what is the visually darkest place you can remember being in? And after I had reflected on this in preparation, I asked my wife Renata the same question. And immediately she expressed the same story that I had been thinking about. The visually darkest place to be in that you remember. It was on our first trip to Uruguay to visit extended family. And from the main city, we were traveling about 6 hours by bus to the countryside where other family members lived. And my Spanish is about nil. Renata's a little more fluent to speak, but still very rusty in that sense. And so the bus driver had been instructed by another family member where we were to be dropped off. Now remember, this is over a six-hour bus ride, and I think the bus driver may have just kind of forgotten a little bit about that. But anyway, we were dropped off late in the evening, in the dark, on a highway that wasn't traveled, and the bus driver quickly pulled our luggage out from underneath, set it down. Renata was trying to ask, is this the right place? And he just reassured, got back into the bus, and drove off. And the darkness was unbelievable as those taillights disappeared in the distance. It was a bit cloudy, so there were no stars, there was no moon, and there were no house lights that we could see anywhere. And it was very obvious to us that we were dropped off at the wrong place. I can't say we were looking at each other because we couldn't see each other. We couldn't see the pavement, and we could only feel the edge of the pavement with our feet and just simply began walking because we knew if we stayed where we were. Anyway, I'll finish that story another time. But it was dark. Our reading this morning to prepare our hearts from Psalm 89, verses 14 to 18. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, in the midst of times when we experience darkness, what is most evident is the absence of light. And as each new day dawns with the rising of the sun and the surrounding landscape brightens, so too we invite your presence in our lives, especially these days when we feel isolated and alone, and even more so, we need your light of love and truth. Guide our thoughts and reflections as we worship, as we listen to music and song, as we lift our prayers before you and hear from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite the song Silent Night. Once again, reminded just to hum or reflect on the text as the music is shared with us. Thank you, Aaron. Our candle lighting for the Advent season is done by video, and invite you to see that now.
Turn toward you, and have the way prepared for us in your coming. May your light shine.
During the season of the pandemic, we're reminded of the limitations on a daily basis in terms of how we have to do things differently. Also very keenly aware of those who are in hospital needing care and how families who support them also have to do things differently. And in many cases, that's, I don't mind saying, almost a heartbreaking challenge for families to support loved ones in the hospital. There are some names listed in the bulletin. There are others who you may be aware of, and so we want to lift them up in our prayers. We also want to remember those in the healthcare work, for those who provide care in a variety of ways and the challenges they also face. And so our prayers are for them as well. I invite you to bow with me. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of worship. In these days, although different, we are still able to meet in a variety of ways, in person or online, or even for those who simply read the comments in written materials that the church sends out. In this way, we seek to be a people of faith, reminded of our own relationship with Jesus, reminded also of your great care and love for us through his gift, particularly this time of season when the daylight is short and the night is long. Our hearts are drawn closer to you, inviting the light of Christ to shine within us. In the midst of that, we reflect on our behavior towards one another, and in the midst of stress and tension at times, we ask for your grace of forgiveness. We ask for acts of kindness to be the light that help us and one another to live out these days. May the light continue to grow brighter as we long for your coming, as we also long for the days when health and safety are renewed. We pray for those in hospital in need of your care. We lift up before you care providers in the health system. We continue to pray for teachers and students who are having to do things differently these days. We pray for ourselves as a church and a congregation seeking to support and uphold one another. We pray your blessing also on our community leaders as they seek to give guidance and leadership in the wider sense, that all of us may have a sense of health and well-being, that our sense of work and significance be valued, and the challenges we face be those things that continue to support and uphold one another during difficult times. May the words and meditations we share, in particular as Pastor Nick shares with us this morning, be a part of the growing light that we long for in our hearts and in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him.
While I was in college, I spent the better part of two summers living in Central America. I traveled there through this program run by a small nonprofit organization. And while we were there, we lived with host families, and we worked Monday to Friday helping build houses in the village, along with some local crews that had been employed to do so. And each evening, we'd go home and get cleaned up and sit down for Spanish lessons. And each weekend, we'd rest. Most weeks, we'd bus into the city on the Saturday, and each Sunday, we'd worship with a local congregation. One of those weekends, though, we involved this excursion and retreat that had been planned for our entire group. For this week, we traveled to this really incredibly beautiful place, some hours away, called Samuk Chimpe. These are actual pictures of it you can see in the next couple slides. And we had our times together as a team, and the rest of our time we spent availing ourselves of some of the activities that were available in that place. And so we relaxed in limestone pools, we tubed down the river, and we went for walks in the jungle, and we went cave exploring. I don't know if any of you have ever gone on a tour through a cave before. I'll say that it was simultaneously one of the most exciting and terrifying experiences I've ever had. This particular cave sat at the edge of the river, and so it was filled with water. So much water at times that we had to wade and sometimes swim through. And none of us had headlamps or flashlights. Instead, our guide gave us each a long, thin candle, which he lit for us at the start, and which we were somehow supposed to carry with us as we navigated our way through the system. As you can imagine, this was a challenge. We'd have to swim, climb, and crawl through holes, all the while holding candles in our hands to light our way. And I'd have to go back to check my journals to be sure, but remembering that experience, I'm fairly sure that at one point when we reached this larger cavern within the cave system, our guide stopped us, and told us to all blow out our candles. It's only for a moment, but I remember that being the darkest place I've ever been in. So what's the darkest place you've ever been in? Emotionally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, what's the darkest place you've ever been in? Some of us probably might say that we've never really had an experience like that. We've never been in a place like that. Some of us might be young enough to have never lived through something like profound doubt, loss, or suffering. Perhaps we might say we can be grateful for that. Imagine for many of us, though, it might be hard to think of when we've been in a place of darkness because we've thought about it many times since. And imagine that for many of us, it will not be hard because this year at times has felt like something of a dark place as well. So what's the darkest place you've been in? As Pastor Randy shared already, we're continuing on through our Advent series based on the first chapter of John's Gospel. And we've shared how John's version of the Christmas story is different from the others. And to say his gospel, his version is different might actually be something of an understatement here. Because usually at this time of the year, we read the straightforward story form versions of Jesus' birth. John, however, presents us with something altogether different here. Rather than a narrative with a clear-cut beginning, middle, and ends, John uses all of these spiritual metaphors and images to describe the reality of God who came down to earth in Jesus. And one of those metaphors and images which we find in our text today is that of Jesus as lights. As we dig into the text, we hear echoes of the Hebrew creation story. I see images of the creation narrative there, as John writes. He says, Jesus is the light that gives light to everyone, and that light was coming into the world. Within the Quaker tradition, there's this concept of holding the light. It refers to this idea of paying attention to the Jesus' living presence in us as the light. Often in those circles you hear people sharing about holding others in the light, this idea of bringing them into God's presence in prayer. Sometimes presented even as a kind of imaginative prayer practice. You may have heard of this. Picturing in your mind's eye the person or the people you'd like to pray for and leading them into a place of light. Other times the concept refers to an individual practice, holding on to the light of Jesus in one's own spirits and one's own life. Recognize it maybe sounds a bit vaguely spiritual or spiritually vague, but for me it's sometimes been helpful, especially when I found myself trying to do just that, trying to cling to the light of Christ while in my life's dark places. When I was inside that cave in Guatemala, I remember holding on so tightly to that candle that had been given to me. I remember it feeling so important in those moments. I carefully balanced it beside my head with one hand while I tried to swim along the deep cave water with my other. I tried to carry it beside me while climbing up a rope ladder that sat beside a rushing waterfall. I attempted not to fumble it while fitting myself through a hole that connected one chamber to another. I remember being so determined not to drop this thing, to not let the flame flicker out. When I look back on some of the other dark places that I've been in and experienced, the times of doubt, loss, pain, and suffering, I remember it sometimes feeling like that. I remember it feeling so critical and at the same time so difficult to try and hold on to the light of Christ within me. It was like I was crawling my way through a cave and trying to hold my grip on a candle at the same time. Sometimes it felt like it was just impossible to do both. Reflecting back on those times, I'm struck by a couple of things, both of which we see in these verses that we've heard read today. First is that the light of Christ was never fully extinguished in those times. Having walked with countless others who've journeyed through their own places of darkness, I've often been struck by this in their lives as well. In these verses, John writes that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The flame, John says, can never be extinguished. In the end, no form of darkness, not illness, not divorce, not job loss, not a cancer diagnosis, not war, not a pandemic, not death, can overcome the light of Christ that shines like a sun in the world and burns like a holy fire in our hearts. It simply cannot be put out. It continues to bear forth its brightness day after day after day. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it. There are times, of course, when my candle flickered out or fell into the water in that cave. But we were never truly without hope of having light. That moment when our guide told us to blow out our candles and everything went black, it became clear immediately that he was either completely reckless and out of his mind, or that, yes, he had in fact taken the lighter that he had before with him. And so we listened as he removed it from the plastic bag in his pocket and relit his wick. And our eyes readjusted to the light as he brought his candle back to life, and the flame was spread around our circle once again. And the rest of the time we were in there, I knew that I could rely on someone else if I was in trouble. And that's the second thing I'm reminded of as I read these verses as well. There were probably a half dozen or so of us in there after all, and so if we needed to, we could simply come close to somebody else and relight our candle off of theirs. There's a song that I know we've sung many times here before. It's called the Servant Song. I know I know it for sure. One of those verses, perhaps less often sung, goes like this. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. There's a deep comfort in those lines, and an invitation, I believe, as well. I will hold the Christ light for you. There may be times when it feels like your candle's gone out. Times when the darkness you're in feels even darker for it. But the light of Christ will not be overcome. There are others around you. There are others nearby. You're not alone. There are others who will hold the Christ light for you. People you can reach out to. People who will reach out to you so that you can carry the fire again. I think some of us naturally reach out to others in those dark places, those dark times. Other of us maybe are more isolated or introverted or just stubborn or stuck and need people to reach out to us. Whichever it is, we're not alone. We can hold the Christ light for one another. I wonder if John the Baptist was someone like that. I wonder if John, the gospel writer here, is saying something like that as he writes about him here in these verses. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the lights. John the Baptist was someone who carried God's light for others. He was someone who held high the Christ light for all to see, and so that all could see in that day. He extended the flame so that anyone who could come could receive it. I don't know about you, but I find it still difficult to find words for what this past year has felt like. We're still in the midst of it. For myself, though, I think it's maybe felt a bit like being in that cave in Central America, an experience that's been simultaneously exciting and terrifying all at once, like I said at the start. If you went online and looked up reviews to skim through or skim through travel blogs about the Semucchampeg Caves, you'll see a fairly even split between those who thought it was one of the greatest thrills of their lifetime and others who found themselves crying and clinging to the guide or some stranger the entire way through. I think I saw a couple people demanding their money back or even threatening lawsuits. I wonder if this year has maybe felt like that kind of same mix of feelings for a lot of us. For some of us, it's maybe felt like a bit of adventure at some points, especially at the start. And at other points, we've maybe felt overwhelmed with a sense of risk, maybe even fear for our lives or the lives of others that we love. And more than anything, we keep wondering when we'll be through this, when we'll be out of this. I've heard this for so long, I've talked to so many of you week after week. We keep asking when we'll be through it, when this will all end. We keep wondering and thinking about what life will be like when we finally are. For our world today, the overwhelming consensus is that the lights at the end of the tunnel is a vaccine. We hear reports about better than expected trial results and rollout for those on the front lines and those most vulnerable. And our spirits are rightly lifted, and we can thank God for this time that we live in. All the same, we're being told to prepare for a long, dark winter until then. Politicians and public health officials are literally using those words, a long, dark winter. For so many of us, that continues to be hard, because it is truly an uncomfortable place to be in. We prefer the daylight for obvious reasons. We prefer the world as we knew it before to being led nearly blind through an unfamiliar, shadowy place like this. We'd maybe like to tell our guide that we've had just about enough, thank you, and we'd like to go home now. Maybe have our money back. We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get out of this eventually and see the flood of sunlight again when we do. But as followers of Jesus, we also believe that we're not without hope in the meantime. Because we hold the Christ light with us in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. I wonder if we can take John's imagery and make it practical even, as a reminder of the hope that we carry inside of us. Perhaps if you have a daily quiet time of devotion, you might light a candle or have a safe battery-operated alternative or some special lamp or Christmas light and set that in front of you for that time as a tangible symbol of Christ's presence with us through this time. Or you could place something like that on your dinner table through the month of December. Many families do this, a candle in the midst of their table there, as something your family can reflect on together. You might give friends or family's members candles as a gift and a reminder that they're not alone now either. A reminder that God is present with them and that there's someone holding the Christ light for them during this hard time. You could light a candle on behalf of someone else. I don't know if any of you caught the article about the Mennonite pastors in Steinbach who are setting lit candles in their windows as a gesture of solidarity with the healthcare workers there as that city continues to struggle with the crisis there. You can make a practice of praying for others the way that the Quakers sometimes pray, trying to hold them in the light of God's presence and care. We've actually prepared some candles for you. I'm hoping to make it a little bit practical, tangible like that. You'll see them in the narthex. I think there's enough for you to take at least one and take another for a friend or somebody as well. I invite you to do that. In her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, Barbara Brown Taylor reflects at length about some of these images and themes as they play out in Scripture in the life of faith. She shares all about these little bits of wisdom, about how in places of darkness we can sometimes come to learn and grow and see the lights of God in ways that we might not otherwise be able to. And in one of her chapters, she shares about her own experiences caving, which is in part where I drew inspiration from my message today. And so flipping back through those words again these weeks, I find myself particularly struck by one thing that she said there. This is what she wrote. Jesus was born in a cave and rose from the dead in a cave. Jesus was born in a cave. Like most Westerners, she continues, I thought of the stable in Bethlehem as a wooden lean-to filled with straw. That was, at least until I went to the Church of the Nativity in the West Bank. There, she writes, I learned that caves made the best stables in Jesus' day. No wind whistling through the boards, no predators sneaking up from you behind. So the traditional place of Jesus' birth is not in the Church of the Nativity, but under it, in a small cave under the altar. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. In Advent, at Christmas time, we behold and encounter the lights of God held in a dark cave. I made it out of the cave in Guatemala, of course. I'm here. And again, my memory of that experience of spelunking is a bit patchy, but I will say that I do have very vivid images of emerging out of the mouth of it and stepping back into the river. I recall feeling tired and bewildered and sunblind after spending so long in the dark, but mostly grateful to be back outside again. We'll get there. We'll get there together. And we'll hold on to the Christ light and hold it for one another until then. Amen. Play a recording of that song, the servant's song right now. And this comes from us singing it about 2 years ago. And actually, the verse I mentioned isn't in there, but I invite you to listen along to the message all the same. Invite you again to take a candle. We conclude a little prayer of blessing with each of those as you leave today. You've been prepared carefully and sitting there for a good number of days now, so no concerns there. Ask that you remain seated until our ushers indicate they'll have you leave. And as we go now, seek God's blessing on our offerings given today and at other times and on the remainder of our week. Share these words of blessing as we go. May God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.